Chapter 121. Kill or be killed. Rachel had discovered a part of herself she never knew existed. Survival mode. A savage fortitude fueled by fear. "What was in that outbound fax?" the voice on the cryptalk demanded. Rachel was relieved to hear the confirmation that the fax had gone out as planned. "Leave the area," she demanded, speaking into the cryptalk and glaring up at the hovering chopper. "It's over. Your secret is out." Rachel informed their attackers of all the information she had just sent. A half dozen pages of images and text, incontrovertible evidence that the meteorite was a fake. "Harming us will only make your situation worse." There was a heavy pause. "Who did you send the fax to?" Rachel had no intention of answering that question. She and Tallinn needed to buy as much time as possible. They had positioned themselves near the opening in the deck, on a direct line with the Triton, making it impossible for the chopper to shoot without hitting the soldier dangling in the sub's claws. "William Pickering," the voice guessed, sounding oddly hopeful. "You faxed Pickering." "Wrong," Rachel thought. Pickering would have been her first choice, but she had been forced to choose someone else for fear her attackers had already eliminated Pickering. A move whose boldness would be a chilling testimony to her enemy's resolve. In a moment of desperate decision, Rachel had faxed the data to the only other fax number she knew by heart. Her father's office. Senator Sexton's office fax number had been painfully engraved into Rachel's memory after her mother's death, when her father chose to work out many of the particulars of the estate without having to deal with Rachel in person. Rachel never imagined she would turn to her father in a time of need, but tonight the man possessed two critical qualities. All the correct political motivations to release the meteorite data without hesitation, and enough clout to call the White House and blackmail them into calling off this kill squad. Although her father was most certainly not in the office at this hour, Rachel knew he kept his office locked like a vault. Rachel had, in effect, faxed the data into a time-lock safe. Even if the attackers knew where she had sent it, chances were slim they could get through the tight federal security at the Philip A. Hart Senate office building and break into a senator's office without anyone noticing. "Wherever you sent the fax," the voice from above said, "you put that person in danger." Rachel knew she had to speak from a position of power, regardless of the fear she was feeling. She motioned to the soldier trapped in the Triton's claws. His legs dangled over the abyss, dripping blood 30 feet to the ocean. "The only person in danger here is your agent," she said into the cryptalk. "It's over. Back off. The data is gone. You've lost. Leave the area or this man dies." The voice on the cryptalk fired back. "Miss Sexton, you do not understand the importance." "Understand?" Rachel exploded. "I understand that you killed innocent people. I understand that you lied about the meteorite. I understand that you won't get away with this. Even if you kill us all, it's over." There was a long pause. Finally, the voice said, "I'm coming down." Rachel felt her muscles tighten. "Coming down?" "I am unarmed," the voice said. "Do not do anything rash. You and I need to talk face to face." Before Rachel could react, the chopper dropped onto the Goya's deck. The passenger door on the fuselage opened, and a figure stepped out. He was a plain-looking man in a black coat and tie. For an instant, Rachel's thoughts went totally blank. She was staring at William Pickering.